In verse 1, who is as the wise man, and who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom maketh his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment. Now, the subject of tonight's message is wisdom and submission to authority. He says, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou? Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and judgment, and therefore the misery of man is great upon him. I read one verse over, but that's all right. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. I want us to look at this passage, and just by way of review, look back at verse 1, where the Bible says, who is as the wise man? And last week, or the last time, we've been a couple of weeks now since I was able to address these things in the book of Ecclesiastes. But when we did last, we looked at the subject of who is the wise man. That's an important question, amen? Important answer, who is the wise man? We want to know what constitutes wisdom, and what represents a wise person. And in this first verse, you'll notice it says, who is the wise man? We thought about the character of a wise man. We said that a wise person is someone who exudes a certain piety. Now, real piety is a great part of wisdom in a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. And a wise person is going to exude piety in their life, not in a showy, superficial kind of way, but it's just going to be there. You know what I mean? And a wise person's characters also has to do with the prudence that they exercise. A wise person is going to be prudent. In other words, they're going to show wisdom in their transactions and in their affairs. So a wise person's character. We talked about a wise person's capability. Wise people, obviously, are going to be more capable than other people. And the Bible is saying here in verse 1, who knoweth the interpretation of a thing? Now, this is so important. Such a part of the character of a wise person is the capability that they have to be able to comprehend things, to have some comprehension about them. In other words, the interpretation of a thing. Not only to be able to comprehend truth, but to be able to communicate it. A wise person is able to communicate truth. That's just part of their capability. That is the nature of a truly wise person. Now, thirdly, the wise person is going to affect them. And the Bible here speaks about a wise man's countenance. And here's what it says about a wise person's countenance. There's a certain attractiveness that can be observed in a wise person's countenance. In other words, the Bible says, look at verse 1, that wisdom has made his face to shine. There's something about a wise person's countenance. There is an attractiveness that can be observed, and also there's an alteration in his countenance that is occurring. The boldness of his face shall be changed. In other words, any impudence about a wise person's face, that's going to be changing. That's going to be being removed. But tonight I want us to look at another aspect of the wise person, and that has to do with a wise person's submission to authority. Now, I just want to tell you, beloved, what I've learned during my lifetime is that people who do not learn about submission to authority, and some people can be submissive to authority, and it's not because they're wise, it's because they're foolish. But there is a submission to authority that is part of the nature and description of a truly wise person. Let's just turn in our Bibles right quick to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, and here you're familiar with this passage. It's talking about submission to civil authority. In Romans 13 and in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, talking about submission to civil authority, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. And so on. It goes on talking about submission to civil authority. It says in verse 5, we must be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. But for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, or honor to whom honor. Talk about submission to civil authority. I'll say more about this passage in a minute. But right now, turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at another type of submission to authority that is mentioned here. And it really is speaking here more along the lines of submission to God. But look at verse 1 Peter 2, verse 13. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now, this is why we need to be submissive to authority. Now, I'll be very much more detailed about that, the submission to authority, but do it for God's sake, first and foremost. The Bible says, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief and suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if, when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable to God. When I read that 17th verse and on down, and especially when you look at the 18th verse, it says, servants, be subject to your masters, not just to the good and the gentle master, but also to the froward master, the foolish master. The master is not what he ought to be himself in the sight of God. When I read that, I thought about the example of Daniel. Daniel served, if my memory serves me correctly, under five different heathen potentates, kings. And these were Assyrians, Babylonians, Persians. They were not good men, but he served them, the Bible says, with an excellent spirit. He wasn't serving them for their sake. He was serving, giving the service and the submission he gave for God's sake. Now, that's for all of us to take to heart. Whether we're children, thinking of submission to our parents, employees, thinking of submission to our employers, or citizens, thinking of submission to our government, or whatever the case may be. In verses 2 through 5 of our text tonight, I want to mention three things. about submission to authority. I want to mention them. I want to reiterate what's mentioned here for us and elaborate on it a little bit from the rest of the Word of God. But I want you to notice three things about submission to authority brought out in verses 2 through 5. Number one is this. It's talking about righteous authority. Righteous authority is in view here. We want to especially be careful to be submissive to righteous authority. And then secondly, this passage tells us something else. It's talking about respectful submission. Amen. Not just righteous submission, but respectful submission to authority. And then in the third place, this passage talks about the fact that this submission to authority, God's promised a reward for it. God has promised a reward. Now, something is said about here about the wise man here. Somebody said this wise man understands that submission to authority is heaven's first law. Somebody else said order is heaven's first law. You think about that. God is a God of order. God has ordered society. And a big part of that, following that order, is the matter of our submission to authority. It's not a grievous thing to be in submission to authority. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is what is hard. Amen. I couldn't tell you how many adults have said to me, reflecting back on when they were young and how they had been unsubmissive to authority, how they wish they could have gone back and changed all of that. They've said, what a difference it would have made in my life if I'd been submissive to authority. I couldn't tell you as a pastor how many times that I've talked to people that have gone far astray in their rebellion against God and against His Word, that later on, years later, have reflected on that and said how different my life would have been. At the time, it seemed like submission to the Word of God was a grievous thing and a hard thing. And, oh, what a price I've paid. Listen, the Bible said it. It's true. It'll always be true. The way of the transgressor is hard. Amen. If only people could understand the importance of this. That's why humility is the queen, the king of all virtues. It's the starting place. Is the humility that makes a person willing to submit themselves to authority. Like Daniel did with an excellent spirit. Well, let's look at these things quickly tonight. Righteous submission to authority is the first thing that's in view here. Now, I want you to notice two things about that and two things under each of the two things. Okay. Number one, notice this righteous submission to authority involves the person by whom this authority is born has to be taken into consideration. The person. Now, this may sound in conflict with what I said earlier, but I just want you to follow along with me. In verse 2, he says, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment. All right. Now, God has designated various people to have the role of authority. The person who's really in authority, who bears this authority. That's the first person. He says, I counsel thee to keep the king's commandment. Specific about that. You know, when you're working a job in a plant, for example, you don't submit yourself to the authority of your buddies. You submit yourself to the authority of who's in authority on the job. It's in the classroom. You don't submit yourself to the authority of Mr. Big Mouth. You submit yourself to the authority of the teacher in the classroom. Well, people, here's the thing. People have their different God-given roles of authority, and we need to submit to them. Now, here's some of them that the Bible mentions. One is the husband. has a role given to them of authority over the home. Now, the wife is the helpmeet, and a wonderful helpmeet she is, and a God-ordained helpmeet, and she has certain authority in the home. But the husband has the ultimate authority over the home and is to be submitted to. Somebody says it's not easy. It's not easy to submit to authority a lot of times. But it's a lot easier to obey God than suffer the consequences of not obeying God. Now, the father and mother, listen carefully now. The father and mother have the God-appointed role of authority over the children in the home. Listen to what I said. The children in the home. God is going to hold the father and the mother responsible for the authority that they exercise in their home. But you know who else God's going to hold accountable? He's going to hold the children accountable for how they submitted to that God-ordained authority over them while they're in the home. Amen. Now, outside of the home, when you get outside of the home, that's a little bit different then. But when you are in the home, you're to be submissive to parental authority. That's what the Bible teaches. Amen? Doesn't matter if you're, I'm just telling you, doesn't matter if you're 2 or if you're 20. If you're in that home, then you need to be submissive to the authority in the home. Now, older men, the Bible's given older men authority over younger men in the church. Amen. The older women are given authority over younger women to a degree. In other words, we're to look to them and follow some of their counsel and so on and so forth and pay attention to what the older have to say to the younger as long as it lines up with God's word. And the pastor and men of the church have certain authority over the church that's to be submitted to. It's righteous submission in that sense. So we need to be aware when we see these things being perverted. Beware when you see these roles being subverted and substitutions being made. You know, it could be in the home where the wife has assumed the great authority over the home, or in a church and a certain family or two. Some of you know what that's about. And the families run everything in the church and so on and so forth. And so here in our text says, it speaks of the king. Now, I want to say first and foremost, now it does apply to civil authority. First and foremost, this is talking about our Lord. It's talking about God as the king. And I'll say this. One of the old writers said, he said, scarcely a passage is found in the Old Testament where obedience to heathen tyrants is represented as a religious duty. In other words, it's not a duty in the sense but it's just where this excellent spirit is required. It takes an excellent spirit. Now, so the person involved is important. God and the person exercising civil authority. But now this will make it a little clearer. You also have to look at this righteous submission to authority that is in view here in terms of the principles, not just the person involved, but the principles upon which this authority is based. Now, as the pastor of the church, if I were pastoring this church and trying to lead this church on other than biblical principles, that would be sin. That would be terrible, terrible sin. And people in the church ought to recognize that, do something about it. In a home, a husband has authority over the wife. But there are principles that the husband has to follow in that authority. So we have to look at the principles upon which this authority is based. And look at verse 2. It says that keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. In other words, be sure that the authority that you submit yourself to is legitimate authority, and it has its basis in the Word of God. Here's what Isaiah 8:20 says, and it's a great passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no truth in them. So these principles are very, very, very important. We want to make sure that we are submitting ourselves to authority that is following principles that are in conformity to God's word, not submitting to authority that contradicts the principles of God's word. And now this leads me back to that passage in Romans chapter 13. So important for people to remember, to know this. I mean, it's simple. A young child could understand this if they were saved. I don't know why more pastors don't understand. I don't know why more adult Christians don't understand this and experience so much conflict about what to do in the situation that we have facing us right here in America. People look at this passage in Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7, and say, there it is. I've had pastors say this to me, standing out in the foyer of meetings and so on, that haven't heard them say it from pulpits. You know, the Bible's very clear. The Bible says, submit yourself to the authority, to the magistrates, to the law. You have to obey the law. And yet, just like, well, let the president, not just this president that we have, the one before him, whoever. If the president says it, if the mayor says it, or whatever, you just have to obey. You just have to obey. That is not, here's our uniqueness. Next to Israel, we're the most unique people ever on the earth. And in some ways, we're more unique. Because God chose Israel, and the settlers of America chose God. We are a unique people. American exceptionalism, that's not dirty language. That's the truth. We are an exceptional people. And here's what makes us exceptional. We don't have a king. We've never had a king or a Caesar or a czar or anybody, a dictator. We are a nation of laws. On the throne for Americans is the United States Constitution. That's our rule of law. That is our government. In the time of Vladimir Lenin was the law. Fidel, now Raul, his brother Castro, is the law in Cuba. Our law is the United States Constitution. And anybody that tries to get themselves in the place of our authority, which is the Constitution, is a criminal. A criminal. Amen? Is that not true, Brother Clyde? It's exactly true. It's absolutely true. What I'm talking about, what the Bible is talking about here, is submission to righteous authority and the principles that are being followed by that authority are so, so important. Now, much submission to authority in homes, schools, churches, government, the military, etc., isn't submission to authority that's based upon godly principles. Amen. We're just looking at what the Bible says about submission to authority. And I just want to say it again for husbands and wives. We all understand this. The church, closest thing to us, parent, children to their parents. We're talking about God-given authority. And we cannot fly in the face of that and expect things to go well with us. Now let's look secondly about this submission to authority. Respect is in view. Now see, it gets a little bit more defined here. Respect. If we're going to submit to authority like God wants us to submit to authority, it's got to be righteous submission to authority, and it's got to be respectful. You ever see anybody submitting to authority with clenched teeth? Submitting to authority and they're grumbling and griping the whole time? Well, wisdom dictates that we, if we're going to be respectful in our submission to authority, wisdom dictates that we avoid two things. And the first thing is, according to this passage, we want to avoid any suggestion of disrespect. Amen. Now, even talking about little children at home when their parents tell them to do something, they roll their eyes and all of that. That's what this is talking about. We want to avoid any suggestion of disrespect. Well, I'll do it, but I don't want to do it. We don't want to be perceived as being, here's two things under that, the suggestion of disrespect. Number one, if we want to avoid that, we do not want to be perceived as being disaffected with the authority over us. Disaffected means no affection for it whatsoever. We're disaffected with it. Look at verse 3. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. For example, here's a boy, and his father's trying to talk to him, explain something to him, give him some counsel. He keeps edging toward the door. Can't wait to get out of his sight. Amen. Here's a pastor. He's trying to give somebody some counsel, and they're edging away from him. And like, you know, how long do I have to put up with this? That's what this is talking about. Just as clear as anything could be. Disaffection. Here's the definition of that. The absence or alienation of affection, friendship, or goodwill. Estrangement from someone or disloyalty to them. We don't even want to give the suggestion of that. And that we're disaffected with the authority over it. In other words, we don't like it. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 8, that's what it said about the king there. Said, happy are thy men. Your people that are not disaffected with the authority over them. They're happy with it. Said, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee, that they may hear thy wisdom. They're not disaffected with their king. They're glad. They're hanging on his words. They're glad to be there. That's the way children ought to be with their parents. That's the way people ought to be with those that are in authority over them. Standing daily before the king, like this says, was a mark of obedient readiness. Here I am. I'm ready. Ready to obey. Now, when people are perceived as being disaffected with the authority that's over them, they do that when they give the impression that they can't wait to be out of your company. Or that they're bored with your conversation. In other words, some people act like they've had all they can stand of preaching. This is God's Word. This is the authority of God's Word. I've had all I can stand. I'm bored at this point in time. I'm anxious to get away from these services. In 1 Thessalonians 2 and in verse 13, talks about how that we ought to be about the Lord's services. And I believe how most people here are. He says, when you received the word of God, Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. Now see, when children, again, are listening to their parents, for example, they ought to listen, not just as the word of mom or dad, but they're listening to the God-given authority over them. In Matthew 18 and 20, Jesus said, "Where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Now, why am I quoting those verses? The Thessalonians were commended because they received, listened to the word of God, not just as a word of Paul and his co-laborers, but as it was truly the word of God. And here Jesus said, wherever two or three, think about this, wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, which is what we're doing tonight, he said, there am I in your midst. Imagine Jesus sitting right back here in the mid part of the auditorium and people just get up and walk out. I mean, really? I mean, something to think about. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in your midst. Maybe you better take care of any business you have to take care of before the services so you don't just get up and walk out while I'm talking to you. Amen. Psalm 16 and 11, the psalmist said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In Psalm 140 and verse 13, the upright shall dwell in thy presence. That means they're settling down for a long, however long the stay might be. So we don't want to be perceived as being disaffected with the authority that's over us. And we don't want to be perceived as being defiant. It's one thing to be disaffected. It's another thing just to be outright defiant. And notice, he says, stand not in an evil thing. Proverbs 30 and 32 says, if thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thine hand upon thy mouth. We don't want to give even the suggestion of disrespect to any God-given authority. Now, wisdom also dictates this. Not only that we avoid giving any disrespect, any suggestion of disrespect, but then he goes on in the latter part of verse 3 and in verse 4 and says, here's something else that wisdom will dictate that we avoid, and that is we want to avoid any suffering for disrespect. I sure want to avoid that. I got enough of that when I was growing up. I'll just tell you, not many times. I wasn't the smartest kid in the world, but I wasn't the dumbest one either. When I disrespected my mother, she took care of it, business right there on the spot. And then she said the most horrible sounding thing I could have heard. She said, and when your dad gets home. And I lived in fear till my dad got home. And when he got home, my mother wasn't a liar. She told my dad what I did. I made it happen early in the morning. She told him. And we took a little march down the hall. You sure didn't want to give any suggestion of being defiant towards authority, taking a stand. I'll just take a stand against this. I'll just take my stand. So here is a simple call to change our ways if we're giving the impression, even giving the impression, that we have a defiant, rebellious spirit against authority. Is that not here in the Word of God? We want to avoid that suffering. Look at verse 3. Begins like this. In the latter part of that verse says, for if, or be not hasty to go out of his sight, stand not in an evil thing, for he doth whatsoever pleaseth him. Where the word of a king is, there is power, and who may say unto him, what doest thou?
You don't want to
do that. Proverbs 30 and 31 speaks about a king against whom there is no rising up. I'll tell you, there's God is that king against whom there is no rising up. And when we think of the ancient Eastern potentates and kings, you didn't rise up against Artaxerxes. Nobody rose up against Nebuchadnezzar. And nobody rose up against Solomon or David before him or Saul before him. There's a king against whom there is no rising up, or else you'd be punished for it. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35 says, "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." This is our King God. "And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou?" Imagine that. To rise up against God. You say, what in the world do you think you're doing? So this is a submission to authority that's respectful. True submission. This is what God wants in our submission. Rightful submission. Is respect shown in it? Not by accident, on purpose. To be purposefully respectful. Amen. And you know what will happen? That's the case. The Bible says here, they'll be rewarded. Look at verse 5. In verse 5, Solomon says that we're going to be rewarded if we take a wise approach to our submission to authority in terms of, number one, what we will feel. You know how I felt when I was disrespectful as a child to authority or disobedient? I felt lousy. I felt guilty. I felt bad as a child, as a young person, disrespectful to authority. Verse 5 says, "Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing." You know how rebellious children feel tonight? They feel bad. You know how a rebellious wife feels who's in rebellion against her husband? She feels bad. Amen. Anywhere, that'll be the case. A husband who's being rebellious in the sight of God by not loving his wife as Christ loved the church. Don't try to tell me you feel good about that. Because you don't. So he says there's a reward involved here in terms of what we'll feel. And what we'll feel is no evil thing. No biting conscience. Primary meaning is that we're not going to know or experience retribution at the hand of the king. In other words, we won't feel any guilt or about our being rebellious or being out of line. But what we will feel and what we will live with is peace of mind, which is what people don't have who are in rebellion. People are in literal prisons with concrete and bars. They don't have any peace of mind. They don't feel good, and their rebellion has given them that state. But you don't have to go to Sing Sing or Alcatraz if it still existed. Down here to the slammer down here on the old highway, to be in a prison of your own making and feel miserable and guilty because of rebelling against law, especially the laws of God. But Solomon says here the reward is not only in terms of what we'll feel, which is no evil thing, but Solomon says we're going to be rewarded if we take a wise approach to our submission to authority in terms of what we're going to find. First reward is what we'll feel. No evil thing. The second reward has to do with what we'll find, because in verse 5 he goes on and says, And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Now think about this reward. The Bible is saying here, if we are wisely submissive to authority, then we're going to find more discernment. And believe me, we need discernment. We have so many things we need discernment for. But he says we'll find discernment and we'll be able to exercise better judgment as we go on through life. That's a big reward right there. But people who are not, who don't take a wise approach to submission to rightful authority, they're not going to, I'll just put it this way, time will tell, they really haven't been the smartest people in the world. They don't make the best of decisions. And they don't follow the best judgment through life. And it's so simple. You know that old hymn we sing? Trust. Just trust God, what he says about this submission. Trust and obey. Because there's no other way. There's no other option. There's no other workable alternative. People have been looking for him for years. People in the pen. People in the nut house. People in the divorce court. Juvenile delinquent court. They've been, Brother Aaron, for decades, people have been looking for an alternative to submission to authority. And while they're looking for that, they're losing their discernment and their judgment for life. Amen. So the wise man, who is the wise man? There's another thing about him or her, whoever it is. The wise person, they got this thing together when it comes to their submission to authority. They understand the big rewards to be reaped from it. And therefore, their submission is not a grievous thing for them. They're smarter than that. Man, let's all stand together.